week. Rebecca and I went. We had a great time. Thank you all for praying for us, and Mike and the crew for keeping things running smoothly while we were gone. Well, we had an awesome time. My mom and dad's family, there's only two aunts left, you know, so we got to see both of them while we were gone, one in Miami and one in Venice. So it's, you know, family's important, aren't they? But we also got to spend a couple days down in Key West, and that was a lot of fun. But we're back and continuing our series. This is part two of a series called With Honor. And Pastor Kai Vaughn's going to give the message today. Next week, I'm doing part three, which is Father's Day. So it's going to be called Not Many Fathers, and it's about honoring your father. I really want to encourage next week. This message is for fathers, but it's for anybody that ever had a father. And I really mean that, because everybody in this room had an imperfect father, and somehow the enemy uses that to hinder us. And I believe that everybody is going to get set free and changed and blessed next Sunday. So be sure and be here next Sunday. And then the following week after that, it's going to be honoring your parents. And Pastor Carl is going to bring that message. And we're going to learn how sometimes we pick up baggage or out of not honoring our parents. And we're going to learn how to be better parents. And we're going to learn how divorce affects everybody in the family. And there might be some healing from that. This is going to be an awesome series. And Pastor Kai Vaughn is doing part two. But to lead into it, we're going to show our little sermon bumper. It's a little video. Watch the words, because it helps us to think about what we're going to talk about. And then Pastor Kai Vaughn is going to take us into part two. So watch this video. All right.
So with honor, first I want to thank God for all of his blessings. My family, we've been very blessed with a wonderful townhouse in Hale Plantation. It's a beautiful area, just a great neighborhood. And we found it about a year ago. And we decided to jump right on it because we realized it was a really great deal. And don't tell our landlord, we're paying probably about 70% of what we should be paying. It's definitely underpriced. And I'm just thankful that God is always with us, loving us, keeping us safe in our homes. In fact, we have scripture that tells us about this. It's in Psalm 139:8. It says, "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Rob, there's a typo. Could you fix that for me real quick? Okay, sorry. "If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." I made that joke up. All right, so thank you, Rob. Let me start off with a little prayer. Father, thank you so much for this awesome church, this awesome congregation that you have here today. Everybody's here to learn about you, to love you, and to get closer to you. I ask that you open our minds and our hearts to your grace, love, light, and mercy, and just show us more of you, bring us closer to you in very, very deep ways. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Romans 12:10 says, "Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves." And that's the crux of this message. It's to be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. To go back to last week a little bit, the definition of honor means value or worth, or it means to give weight that is do something. Give the weight that is do something. Pastor Bill's analogy was, you're driving your car down the road and you see a plastic bag and you decide, no big deal, you just go right through it, hit it, nobody dies. Or you see a boulder and you decide, oh, I need to stop and go around this thing because the weight of it will kill you. And so you give the honor to that boulder the way the weight of it is due. And so that's the honor. That's what we're talking about with honor. It's giving weight where weight is due. And I want to take a second, and we need to get this in our hearts. We can do all kinds of things to show honor on the outside, bowing. There's all kinds of little, like, exterior actions we can use to show honor. But that can get fuzzy and weird, and off base. And this is really about getting it down into your heart. The only way you're going to do that is through relationships, one with God. Get time with him, get this knowledge, listen to me, all that sort of stuff, listen to the scriptures, meditate on them, but then take time with God. Yes. Ask him to reveal this to you and to write it on your heart and show you how this applies to your life. And even maybe I'm going to outline some specific areas where we should honor people and maybe where you're weakest as well. You can ask God about that and get this on your heart. The other place in relationships is in small groups and in the dream team. If you participate in those, that's another place that you'll get this stuff written on your heart by through that discipleship, through those relationships. And I do want to take a second to honor somebody that I think is very important to us that I don't feel like I hear being honored so much. I hear Pastor Bill honored all the time. I hear different dream team departments honored all the time, parking lot and sound team and children's church, even different individuals and pastors. But I don't feel like I hear Miss Rebecca honored as often as I'd like to hear. She's, of course, a spiritual mother to so many here at church, and she leads so many young ladies, or just even young in the Lord ladies, in so many ways, helps them in so many ways, helps them bring them closer to God and guide them and disciple them. And but something you might not know is she's always here, like always, like doing stuff. I'm here regularly for... And I have been for several years on different days for different things. Sometimes for soundboards, sometimes children's church, now it's youth, different things. And I just always see her here. Like she's always here when I'm here when I'm supposed to be. She's here when she's not supposed to be. Decorating, cooking for the worship team, changing a back patio into a children's church room, stuff like that. And that's incredible, and honor's due there. And so whenever I see her, I'm like, shouldn't you be relaxing by a pool somewhere? And she goes, hey, I don't have a pool. I'd like a pool, Bill, but I don't have a pool. But she's always here and honor is due. So thank you, Miss Rebecca, for doing all that. We have a culture of dishonor in our nation. 2 Timothy 3 says, but know this, that in the last days grievous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, haughty, railers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, implacable, I don't even know what it means, slanderers, without self-control, fierce, which is related to demonic, no lovers of good, traitors, headstrong, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that scripture goes on to say, have no place with these people. This is a thing in our culture. It's very common. It's rampant. We're just dishonoring all kinds of different categories. And so let's talk about some of those categories. First category, if you've got your notes, it'll be your first blank. It says, honor others. Honor others. Our scripture for this is going to be 1 Peter 2:17. It says, honor all people. That doesn't mean some. Doesn't mean the ones you like. Doesn't mean your friends. Doesn't just mean your family, but it means all people, honor all people, because all people have weight, hold weight, all people hold value. Another real quick scripture, Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. All of us are valuable. All of us hold weight. The only thing that makes you valuable, or me, is that God loves us. That's the only thing that makes you valuable. If God didn't love you, you wouldn't have any value. You wouldn't have any weight. But because God loves you, you have weight. Also, because God loves you and I equally, we have equal weight, at the very least in that realm. And so we are all due honor in some form. And if you want to, we can just go past that. Just the body is amazing. Our body is amazing. Let me go over some little quick interesting facts. In 2006, Dean Karnazes of Los Angeles was able to break records by running in 50 marathon in 50 states for 50 days. That's incredible. Our bodies can do things like that. You may not be gifted in that way, but your body is gifted in some way that's amazing. And or you're gifted in some way that's amazing. That is due some honor. That holds weight. Lasha Pataria set the world record for pulling a 17,000 pound military helicopter all by himself, just using his left ear. A former wrestling champion, he pulled the chopper for an astounding 20 seconds. That's incredible. Holds weight, do some honor. Also known as the human lightning conductor, Cleveland Sullivan was able to survive not one, not two, but seven lightning strikes throughout his life between the ages of 30 and 65. Also incredible. Also called the Cannonball King, John Holtum could catch heavy cannonballs fired at him by his assistant. Crazy. All right. So that's just the body. And it dies. It's gone after somewhere in the range of 100 years. Never mind that we're eternal beings. Never mind that we have an eternal destiny. Never mind that we will eternally affect the universe and people, beings around us, people and beings around us. That holds weight. Everyone is due honor. If you wonder if you're due honor, if you wonder if you're worth anything, you're worth something. A lot, actually. A whole lot. There's a culture of dishonor that kind of tells us the opposite. There's video games, horror movies, pornography, that glorify mutilation, abuse, and misuse of the human body. And that's disgusting, and that's sad, and that's dishonoring to God in so many ways. There's also a culture of abortion. Consider the miracle of life. I look at my daughter Olivia at least every couple of days, and I go, you're there. You were nothing a year ago. Like, you were nothing. You weren't there. And now you're there. There's a person occupying space that was never before. That's incredible to me. I mean, if a rock just appeared right there, y'all would be like, whoa. If I waved my hand and a rock appeared, y'all would be like, whoa, that's probably not biblical. But if I waved my hand and a person appeared that had never lived before, you'd be like, whoa, that's crazy. And that's life. That's the miracle of life that is inside of a woman's womb. And we take, thank God that that is eternal, that is held in heaven eternally. We can't do anything to that eternal being. But we take that being's opportunity to affect this world. And that's not honorable. That's not honoring them. Next blank, honor authority. Forgive me for going so quickly. This is a very lengthy endeavor. Honor is a big deal. Honor authority. Romans 13 says, everyone, that's you, must submit himself to the governing authorities. Everyone, that's you, must submit himself to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. Let's be honest. We live in the South. Our church sticks to some pretty traditional values. Most of us aren't big fans of President Obama. And if you are, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. We'll find you, and we'll get rid of you. Come on. Lighten up. I'm just being serious. Just kidding. All right. So we're not big fans of President Obama, but he is due honor. He is our president. Yes. That's right. Yeah. God has ordained him to be President Obama, arguably since the beginning of time. I do believe that God intended for him to lead us in certain godly ways and just ways, and we could argue all day about whether he's doing that or not, but whether he is or isn't, God can change that, and we're called to pray for him, because all things are possible with God. And if you don't believe in hope and change, you may not have any hope that President Obama can change, but at least respect the position, because one day your guy will be in there, and if you don't respect the president today, when your guy's in, no one is going to respect that position of president, just like over in Britain, nobody cares about the Queen of England. They think, oh, celebrity, but nobody cares about their laws, what they want done. So respect who's there today, and then one day, when your guy comes around, he'll hold weight. President and Congress move slow, but that's by design. Can you imagine a speeding boat turning quickly makes a pretty good-sized wave? Imagine an aircraft carrier speeding at the same speed, turning quickly, entire cities would be lost from that wave. The forefathers designed in our Constitution for the government to move slowly for that reason, because they foresaw that we would be a juggernaut of a nation. And if we move too quickly, bad things happen. Even people that supported certain healthcare bills in the past that were excited about their concept are kind of backtracking because it went through so quickly, and some of that forefather wisdom wasn't used by moving slow. that's government. The next blank, that was one of the blanks, by the way. Under authority, government was one of those. The next blank is workplace or school. If you work, your blank is going to be workplace. If you're in school, your blank is going to be school. The way we honor our workplace and in this case, our boss, is we don't play games on our phone while he walks up and switch over and say, oh, I'm emailing a customer or an employee or a coworker. Serve your boss at work, the Bible says, as if you're working for God. There's a whole lot of other ways to honor your boss. That's just one of the quick ones. If you're in school, honor your principals and teachers. They put a lot of time and energy into creating an environment where you can learn. And they may not be perfect, but respect them nonetheless. Love them nonetheless. Don't talk bad about them behind their back. Don't go home and trash their homework that they ask you to do. Take the time to do to study and to do well, because it's a big deal to them, and it really should be a big deal to you. Honor your principals and teachers. The next blank is going to be family. Most scriptures on honor are actually about family. We go through tons and tons of them. I'm going to really quick cite a study, though. I heard about recently a joint study between some experts in Canada and Australia. My youth are going to be pretty upset with me because it's about chores. The study concluded that homes in which children are given regular chores, consistent, almost daily chores, have children that honor their parents and the other family members, brothers, sisters, all that, much more readily. Then they went further to find out that it's not just the chores, it's the type of chores. Self-serving chores, such as making your bed, cleaning your room, didn't produce much of anything. Chores that served the whole family, washing dishes, cutting the lawn, taking out the trash, oh yeah, this is where they're going to get upset with me. Those are the ones that produced honor within the family, humble children that honored their parents and brothers and sisters. Every time I leave the house, I try to make sure I honor my family because we have fights. I think you guys probably do too. We have fights within our house sometimes. But that's not what my family's about. Yeah, it happens, but it's not what it's about. And I know that if I don't leave, every single time I leave, I say, I love you, Jenny. I love you, Olivia, and I love you, Kaylee, my dog. And even if I've locked the door, walked to the car, I'll walk back, I'll unlock the door and say, hey guys, Jenny, Olivia, Kaylee, I love you, and then close it and leave. Because I know it could be my last time saying it. I know that could be my last time seeing them or their last time seeing me, and I don't want to leave anybody with any sort of leftover hurts or problems or issues. That's disrespectful, despite some stupid fight about toilet paper. Also, honor your spouse in marriage. My love language is acts of service, so when I get home and food is cooked, house is clean, someone takes off my shoes and rubs my feet, I am flying on cloud nine. Jenny's are words of affirmation. Jenny's love language is words of affirmation, which, when I'm a man. So when I get home from my work day, I'm allotted about 15,000 words a day. Jenny's allotted 30,000. When I get home, I've already used all my words. And she wants words of affirmation. So she wants more words. I don't have more words. Funny thing is, when I get home, she's been home with Olivia all day. She can't talk yet. Jenny's allotted 30,000 words, and Jenny hasn't used a single one. Unless she's talked to herself a little bit. So there's a problem here. And the last thing I want to do is ask her about her day. And the last thing she wants to do while she's also been taking care of Olivia all day and serving Olivia is take my shoes off and rub my feet, much less the other stuff. And so can you imagine, though, a home where we fought over who's going to honor the other? If I say, so how was your day? She goes, no, you sit down. I know you want to rest and relax. And I say, no, but you want me to ask you about your day. So tell me about your day. And she goes, no, I'm going to cook the food. Oh, well, but just at least tell me about your day while you're cooking the food. Can you imagine how amazing a home like that would be? I can't say we quite do that yet, but we've done it once, I'm sure, I think. Can you imagine that? That's honor. That's honoring your spouse. Next blank, spiritual. Honor your spiritual leaders. I'm not going to harp on, there's a bunch of scriptures on this. I'm not going to harp on them too much. That would be too self-serving. But I will give you one that's kind of interesting that I'm not even sure I have my head wrapped around. The Bible says to honor all people, everyone. It says to honor family. It says honor authority. But it says to those who lead you spiritually, give double honor. I can wrap my head around honor. I can wrap my head around honor my parents and stuff like that. I don't actually understand what double honor means, but I get that it's a big deal. Lots and lots of honor are due them. So when Pastor Bill takes time to put together a message on Sunday for you to grow spiritually, give double honor there. Give double weight where that weight is due. Your next blank is parents. Honor your parents. We, of course, know this is one of the Ten Commandments. It says, honor your, Exodus 20, says, honor your father and mother. Then you will live a long, full life in the land of the Lord, your God who is giving, land of your Lord, your God, is giving you. This scripture really comes alive when you have a child of your own. I've got about 9 months under my belt. I'm sure it's going to come alive even more as she gets older. But it says, I've changed her stinky diapers. I don't know how many countless times I've stopped her from eating dirt, leaves, and even her own poo. I have saved her life a dozen times from electrocution, falling from heights, animal attacks, and sketchy people. And that was just this week. And then I think about how one day, because it's the nature of all of us, she will probably lash out at me in disrespect. And I think, you little twerp. Actually, let's let Bill Cosby say it. He says it a little bit better than me.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. There's no wonder you get D's and everything. Now, you are afraid to try because you're afraid that your brain is going to explode and it's going to ooze out of your ears. Now, I'm telling you, you are going to try as hard as you can. And you're going to do it because I said so. I am your father. I brought you in this world and I'll take you out.
So like I said, that really brings Exodus 20 alive. Honor your father and mother, and then you will live a long, full life. Pastor Carl is going to go over honoring your parents and Pastor Will next week, so be here for that. I'm not going to go too deep into that, but it's a big deal. Honor your parents. Honor age. Leviticus 19 says, stand up in the presence of the aged, show respect for the elderly, revere your God, I am the Lord. This has always been kind of a thing for me where I feel like I honored my elders. I had friends that would say, oh, old people smell, or old people are boring, or they repeat themselves, or they tell the same boring stories all the time. And I couldn't disagree more. I think I love their stories, even when they repeat them. I remember going to my grandfather, and he had two sisters, my great aunts. I would say, can y'all tell me a story? And they'd kind of look at me funny, like, you want this? We always usually just force it on all your other cousins. And my grandfather just one time goes, I don't have anything left. I go, a war story? He goes, sorry, I've already told them all. But and I used to love sitting with Pastor Courtney. And I swear, I've heard that snake locker story 25 times, but I would listen to it every time, and I'd always get some new gem, either a new story or a new little part of the story I never heard. I go, wait, that was a thing? That's possible? And I used to love sitting and listening to his stories. He was an incredible man. And so honor age. I think there's so much that kids that don't honor their elders and even get some of those stories, I think there's a reason that old people always tell stories, that God kind of put it inside of us, or not me yet, but put it inside of old people so that the younger people could get something out of that wisdom that's there. honor age. Next one, honor nature. And I'm not talking about worshiping the planet, but I've got another quick video for you.
Nature will provide a lot of life, but nature will also kill you. You get a rotten tooth, you're dead, you're going to die. So you got to think about hygiene. You should look up anything before you eat it, because if you don't know, you're going to be like Eddie Vedder in the movie Into the Wild, and you're going to be dead. Well, right now I'm looking for a heavy log or something to carry, something to simulate carrying another person. A sewer festers and you die. A tooth gets rotted, toxic, right in your brain, and you die. Just about anything can kill you. If a bear's coming at you, you want to get big right away. Make a loud noise, deter him. Don't tuck or run. A lot of it's just about surviving. When you're out here in the woods, you're this close to death. Dehydration, starvation, rattlesnake bite, hit your head. Death is always seconds away. Rock falls on your head. Squirrel, too dark, bladder infection. You're too fat, stomach ache. Add water, runny nose, crying, bee sting or a rattlesnake bite. Mountain lion, death, that'll kill you. You die, it will kill you instantly, and you're gonna be dead. The wilderness is my friend.
So, the earth and even all of our home, all of our possessions have been entrusted to us. And we have to honor God by honoring those blessings. There's a whole bunch of ways you can do that. Honoring nature by not killing animals randomly is probably a good start. Killing and eating is fine, but killing them randomly for no good reason, that's a good start. Honoring God with your possessions through tithing and offerings, stuff like that, that's a good start. We have to respect that. Then my last one is honor God. God is due honor. And we glorify God through the gospel, because the gospel is his heart. The gospel, I'm not talking about evangelism. I'm talking about the gospel, the good news. And it's that Jesus, that God loves us. He loves us deeply, fully, completely, and wholly. So much that he has a place eternally set aside for us in heaven. To spend time with him forever, to enjoy him forever, to love him forever, and to serve him forever. God is also holy. That means pure. It means sinless. Because of that, he cannot be around sin. We have all sinned. Sin is anything you think, say, or do that displeases God or breaks his laws. Sin is like lie or cheat or steal. Even something as simple as a white lie is a sin. And because of God's goodness and because of his justice and because he's a perfect, loving father, he made laws. He said, the penalty for sin is death. And that's what the Old Testament's about. That's what the law is about. It condemns us. It says, you sin, you die, and you go to hell. We are eternally destined for hell. But here's where it gets good. The gospel, I had a rough week. I had a really rough week. And because of that, I had to go to God in prayer and say, God, I need you to fill me back up because I'm empty here. And he didn't do what I thought he would do, but he did fill me up in an amazing and incredible way. He showed me his heart, and he gave me a bit of a revelation. He showed me that the gospel is his heart. Just like how I love business, and I get excited about business. I get excited about the latest Forbes article. Or just like Pastor Bill loves guns, and he gets excited about the latest velocity on a bullet. And just like some of you may love fish, Brock loves fishing. He talks about the latest fishing lure. Just like that, God gets excited about the gospel, about the intricacies there. It's a lot more complex than just a guy died on a cross. He gets so excited, and there's so much depth to it. The Bible talks about the mystery of the gospel. It talks about the depth and breadth and width, and that we could know God's true love and all the intensity behind it. And so God began to share something new with me about the gospel. He showed me, and he shows me all the time through various things that are going on in my life, but he showed me through Olivia this time. I put up pictures of Olivia all over Facebook because I'm so proud of her. I'm so excited that she's growing and she did this new thing and she has a new tooth and she almost walked the other day and all these sort of things. I'm so excited and so proud of her. And the reason the gospel is God's heart is because the gospel is his son's greatest achievement. Because of our sin, because of justice, we are destined for hell. And so God, just like in the Old Testament when the king, there's a story of Queen Esther, the king accidentally, not God didn't accidentally make the law in this case, but the king accidentally made a law that doomed all the Jews to death. And Queen Esther came to him and asked for him to find a way that that would not be so. And so he said, well, what I can do, is a lot longer than this story, but what I can do is I can make a law that supersedes it, a law that's bigger than it, a law that overarches it and gives them a loophole around this previous law. And so all the Jews were saved. That's what happened with the gospel. The law condemned us, and it was truth, and it was just, but he found a way around. He got excited one day, and he went to Jesus, and he said, son, I got a plan. I found a way that we can save them all. We can get them all up here with us for eternity. I found a way, but I need you to do something for me. I need you to go down there, be born as a man. I need you to live a life just like them, go through all the temptations they go through that you've never experienced before, up here being with me always. I need you to be put to shame, although you deserve all honor. I need you to be tortured and beaten and bruised and all kinds of awful things. Then I need you to die. But that's the easy part. Now, after that, I need you to take on the entire sin, the entire world, all that guilt and all that shame. I need you to feel the weight of something you've never felt. I need you to be separated from me for 3 days at least. And I need you to go to hell. And I believe because of that sin, he was punished just like anyone that goes to hell should be punished. I need you to be tortured, fire and brimstone, all that awful, awful hell stuff, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I need you then, after all that, be strong enough to break out of hell, to use your power to break out of hell so they, the ones that have sinned, the ones that deserve nothing, can be redeemed. And he said, not my will, Father, but yours. And the Father, it's not probably not doctrinally sound to say that God was biting his nails while Jesus was in hell. Like, is he going to break out? Is he going to break out? But there was probably something going on. And when he broke out, that was the Father's proudest moment. He saw his son. He said, my son has conquered. He's victorious. And the Bible tells us that there's a song that we sing in heaven eternally. It's, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Even after all this world has passed and the sin is gone, we will still sing forever with the angels who that we don't necessarily know ever sinned will sing eternally, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Because it's that big of a deal. That is his heart. That's what gets him excited, just like I get excited about business. He'll talk about that all day long. And so you have that opportunity to become a child of God, to be redeemed, to be made clean and whole again because of what Jesus did. The Bible says if you'll confess him as Lord, which is not that he's on your list, not that God's on your list, but that God's the top of your list. Confess him as Lord, give him honor, where his honor is due because of the weight of what he is, because of how big he is, you'll be saved. And so, if you've never done that, that's a big deal. You want to do that today. And I'm offering that the opportunity for me to help you with that and lead you in that. Also, if you've done that, but God's kind of just still on your list, he never was or never got to or just has fallen from the top priority on your list, Bible talks about us putting the cross to shame when we sin again and go back to the world. If you've experienced that, there's forgiveness there for that too. And so I want to offer you that opportunity for me to lead you there too. Let's bow our heads. Eyes closed. This is not about the person next to you. This is not about the friend you brought. This is about you and God, and about them and God. Let them be. Let them have time alone with God to answer this question, to see if they need to make a heart change and be born again. If you need that, just pray with me, everybody together. Let's say, thank you, Father. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for me, to take my punishment for sin. Thank you that he was strong enough to break out of hell and to become my Lord today, sitting at the right hand of the Father, victorious. I make you my Lord, my Savior, and I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that, you're saved and you're going to heaven. Also, you're redeemed if you were struggling with anything and you've been made whole.